This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 27th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear about Walmart's impacts on sales tax revenue in the Chicago area, the first store open a year ago today. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. A conference on capitalism and limited government will bring a couple of famous conservatives to the University of Illinois this afternoon, but the conference's sponsor says they want to influence study at the U of I campus in a more lasting way. The Academy on Capitalism and Limited Government Fund is dedicated to correcting what its founders see as a longstanding liberal bias at college campuses. The group plans to endow teaching and research on the U of I campus in the area of free markets and individual rights and responsibilities. Some faculty members have raised concerns that the group was launched without any input from the U of I's faculty senate or academic departments. They fear the Academy Fund could end up dictating what is taught and researched on campus. But co-founder and acting executive director Thomas O'Laglin says that's not their goal at all.
If we can change it and change it in a healing way, this is not an angry mission at all. We're offering a counterpoint, and all we want is a place at the table. Let's examine capitalism for what it is. Why is it the free market systems of exchange historically have produced growth and opportunity and wealth consistently?
And O'Laglin says they also want to sponsor research into capitalism's shortcomings and how they can be corrected. This afternoon's conference at the Illini Union will feature appearances by former presidential candidate Steve Forbes and columnist and U of I alumnus Robert Novak. The schedule also includes U of I faculty members talking about the history of capitalism, the impact of government growth on the economy, and other topics. Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan says he wants a closer look at a plan to pay for a massive state construction program by expanding gambling. That's something Governor Rod Blagojevich and other top legislative leaders from both parties tend to favor. Madigan plans public hearings in Chicago and Springfield to make sure Illinoisans understand the Senate-passed bill that's pending in the House. The measure would create three new casinos, including one in Chicago. It would also allow existing casinos to expand in order to pay for a roughly $13 billion capital program to bail out Chicago-area mass transit systems. Madigan says he doesn't think people in Illinois have had an adequate opportunity to learn what's in the bill. Illinois' top legislators sat down again yesterday to hash out a plan to improve roads, schools, and transit. Sean Ali explains the stakes could be high for a Chicago casino.
The state of Illinois would expect a $500 million cut from casino revenue each year. Tom Swoik directs the Illinois Casino Gaming Association. Swoik says Chicago will profit in the long run, but there's a hitch. It would have to pay $1 billion for a gaming license.
And then on top of that, they're going to have to build a facility that'll probably be a very expensive facility. I would assume we're talking about in excess of $1 billion. So the city's going to have almost probably in the neighborhood of $2 billion wrapped up before the doors even open.
Illinois' governor and Senate president are committed to the construction bill and a Chicago casino. I'm Sean Aldi.
A University of Illinois professor says the state's effort to reduce undocumented illegal immigrants in the workplace could have the opposite effect. This week, the federal government sued the state in an effort to overturn a new Illinois law. That measure bars employers from taking part in a federal program that verifies whether immigrant job applicants are legally entitled to work in the U.S. The governor's office says the federal program known as E-Verify is rife with errors. The state law takes effect next year. Barry Chiswick heads the Department of Economics at the U of I Chicago campus. He says immigration issues should be solely the responsibility of the federal government, and it has a proper mechanism in place.
If employers can't use this verification system, an employer who wants to obey the law might inadvertently discriminate against somebody who, in quotes, looks like an illegal alien, whatever that means, whereas that person may have a legal right to work here. So I think this Illinois law will inadvertently increase discrimination.
The Illinois law says unless Homeland Security can complete 99% of its investigations within 3 days, it's illegal for the business to use the E-Verify program. The director of the U of I Center for Democracy and a Multiracial Society has another view of the new law. Jorge Chapa says the measure highlights recent controversy in the Bush administration regarding immigration enforcement. He says the lawsuit is another attempt on the part of the U.S. government to look tough without making the investment to do the job right. A union representing some performers and stage managers is threatening to strike at the Lyric Opera of Chicago's season-opening production of La Traviata. The union spokesman says the American Guild of Musical Artists might picket the Saturday evening production unless there is progress in continuing talks with Lyric management. The union doesn't represent singers in the principal roles. They're independent contractors. The 88-5 vote authorization strike was announced yesterday. Lyric General Manager Bill Mason says meetings with the union are private. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Walmart opened its first store in Chicago a year ago today. The world's largest retailer depicts the store as an economic motor for West Side neighborhoods like Austin and West Humboldt Park. But a Chicago Public Radio analysis of sales tax revenue suggests that the Walmart might be hurting other retailers in the area. Chip Mitchell has this report.
Almost every afternoon around 5, the parking lot at 4650 West North Avenue fills up, and shoppers channel into Chicago's only Walmart.
Hello, welcome to Walmart.
Hey. The Arkansas-based company says nearly all of the store's 443 employees are African American or Latino. It says more than half are residents of Chicago's 37th Ward. That makes Alderman Emma Mitz proud.
We're taking people from being homeless or not having employment at all. They're now being able to learn what it's like to get up and just go to work in the morning or to get to work on time, to being able to communicate. It's a start.
Walmart says this store generated more than $2 million in state and local taxes during its first 6 months. And the store means a lot to West Side consumers.
Particularly when people are working and living paycheck to paycheck.
That's Walmart spokesperson Mia Mastin.
To get to a Walmart conveniently rather than having to take 2 and 3 bus stops or cabs or whatever, you know, with the high cost of gasoline, having access to the store in their community is definitely a benefit. So this saves time, it also saves money.
Walmart is also selling products from some local vendors, and it's providing free advertising and training to 20 small businesses in the neighborhood.
It's in our best interest to have a thriving business corridor. So you want to build economic development so that it's a thriving economic corridor that's going to bring in customers.
But data from the Illinois Department of Revenue suggest Walmart's success could be at the expense of the surrounding area. We looked at sales taxes the state has collected from the 9 zip codes within roughly 3 miles of the Walmart. During the year before the store opened, Walmart's zip code grew more slowly than the surrounding zip codes. After the Walmart opened, sales taxes from that zip code spiked up, and in the other 8 zip codes, retail growth began a steady decline. Six blocks west of the Walmart, Lawrence LeBlanc buys and sells secondhand electronics and furniture. He's run the business out of a 1,600-foot storefront for 12 years. But these days, he spends much of his time watching one of his TVs and monitoring a police scanner.
For the past year, it has gotten so slow in the area that in order to pass through the day, you need to have some kind of entertainment.
LeBlanc has a for rent sign in his front window. He says he'll close his business if he can find someone to take the space.
When Walmart is selling a new TV for $125, I cannot afford to buy a used TV and sell it to make a profit. It's pointless trying to compete with Walmart.
The University of California, Berkeley's Center for Labor Research and Education has been studying Walmart's economic impact nationally. The center's Ken Jacobs says there's strong evidence that Walmart's arrival into a city has consequences.
Downward pressure on wages, on health benefits, the displacement of existing retail that pays better and that is more likely to provide health benefits. And that is the central reason why you have seen such strong opposition to Walmart in urban areas and in many places, effective coalitions that have helped keep them out.
I think the discussion shouldn't be, do we want Walmart or don't we?
University of Illinois at Chicago economist David Merriman is working on the first study of Walmart's effects on the city's west side.
The question should be, under what conditions do we want Walmart? What do we need to get in exchange? You know, if it has some bad effects, how can we ameliorate those bad effects? How can we capture the good effects of a store like Walmart?
Merriman expects the first phase of his study to be done by the end of the year. Walmart's effects on the West Side might help determine whether Chicago allows the company to build a second store in the city. Walmart says the possible sites include at least one parcel on the South Side. In Humboldt Park, I'm Chip Mitchell.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, mostly sunny skies today at a high 75. Clear and cool this evening, the low around 50. We'll have sunny skies again tomorrow, the high 77. Clear tomorrow evening, the low 52. Saturday's forecast calls for sunny skies, the high around 80. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 27th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.